Okay, the boy said today's daf is daf Chof Aleph. We're holding the third line from the top of the Amid, where the Gemara begins. Kisolik Reb Zera Ashkechei L'Reb Ami D'Yosef V'Ka'omar Lo L'Ha Shmaita. When Reb Zera went up from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, he met Reb Ami and he saw that Reb Ami was repeating the Shmaita that we had yesterday. Shmaita means the Memra of whom? Of Ze'iri. What did Ze'iri say? If we take a quick look at Chof Amid Beis, the second wide line, it says, Omar Ze'iri Nishbara Mafrekes. What happens if you have a bird with a mafrekes, that is the spinal column, or it is the neck bone, whatever you want to call it, if that is broken, together with Roy Basar Ima, together with the surrounding flesh and tissue, then this is a nevela. What is the importance? What's the chiddush in Ze'iri's halacha? It's not that it is a treifa, but it's a nevela. What difference does it make? You cannot eat it, whether it's a treifa or a nevela. Tuma. If it's a treifa, it's not tame. If it's a nevela, it's tame. Moreover, had Ze'iri said that it's simply a treifa, and then after that you would take a sakin and you would shecht it, that shechita is metaheres midei tum'asa. It wouldn't allow it to become tame. On the other hand, if it's already a nevela, you can shecht it as many times as you want. It's not going to help. A nevela is a nevela is a nevela, and it is metama. How is it metama? It's not metama like regular meat of a nevela of an animal, b'maga u'b'masa, but rather it's metame b'beis ha'bliya. Good. So that was the chiddush that Ze'iri said yesterday. The Gemara asked a couple of kashus on Ze'iri, and the last part of the discussion that the Gemara asked was that Rava said, I don't understand. If you're telling me Nishva Mafrekes, it's already a dead bird, it's an Avela, why would the Torah say continue and do Malika on this bird? Because how does one do Malika? Malika is by cutting through the mafrekes, and after that, hitting the two simanim, and then cutting those as well with the fingernail of the kohen. Would the Torah require you to do a malika on a bird that is already dead? It's like doing a shechita on a bird which is dead. Can you assume that that's what the Kodesh Baruch Hu asked us to do? That was Rava's kasha. You see six lines from the bottom of the Amud. Amar Rava, ikashali, hakashali, v'chimesa. According to what you're telling us, Ze'iri, that once Nishba Mafrekes, Broi Basar Ima, it's an Avela, it's dead. Oimed Umoylik, is Kadosh Baruch Hu say, Koyin, go now do a Malika to end its life. It's already dead. You're killing a dead bird. That was Rav's Kasha. Now the Gemara at the top, on Chof Aleph Omer Aleph, Omer Rav, Rav is answering his own Kasha. Eima Kein Hu Oysa, I understand, according to Ze'iri, how one is supposed to make the malika properly. Choytech shedru umafrekes beloy roiv basar. When the kohen does the malika, he should first cut through the shedra in the back, that's the mafrekes, but leave over the roiv basar. When is he going to go and sever the roiv basar? Only after he severs the simanim. That's what we left over yesterday. I know that Barry and others were concerned. What difference does it make if you break through the roiv basar or not? L'chayra, once you've gone through the mafrekes, isn't that what establishes it is as a nevelim? And the answer is no. When you have the shedra and the mafrekes, even if they are broken, and l'havdil, the same thing applies to a human being. As long as a room and a room, that break, you have basar, you have tissue, you have flesh, that can still hold the spinal column intact, and even though there's never a cut in it, but at least it's holding together by the surrounding tissue. Once, however, if you've cut through the surrounding tissue, then this spinal column is going to plot, and the bird can no longer live. And the same thing, chas v'sholom, by an individual, also the person would pass away. And so therefore, that's what our Gemara is telling us, that Ze'iri and Rav interpreting Ze'iri is now telling us is a fundamental difference between Ze'iri's case and the way you do Malika. Zairi is talking about a situation where Nishbar Mafrekes and Raiv Basar. So all of the insulating tissue and flesh, etc., that is surrounding the Mafrekes has all been shattered. This fowl cannot live more than another minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever. It's unavailable. On that, you cannot do Malika. Voice, a Malika doesn't work on a dead bird. Where do you do Malika? Is when everything was initially intact, and now the Kohen goes and he breaks through the Mafrekes, but leaves the surrounding tissue in place, so that theoretically, had he left the scene, yes, the bird could continue to live, and then he continues beyond the Mafrekes, and he cuts through the two simanim, and then cuts through the Roy Basar. At that point, the Malika has ended. That being the case, you're not talking about a Zairi case where it's already in the Vela. You're talking about a bird that is still a kosher bird, and you can continue and finish off the Malika.
Is it similar to the cut in the trachea, that as long as it's, as it were, sustained, it's not moved, it's not...
It's the same type of cheshman.
Thank you.
Dr. Bar, yeah.
Oh, yes. One minute, I want to say, the thing, the question Meiri asked, if it's dead bird, you make Malika, you break his neck, how is it that we got to make the mitzvah of Abdallah? Abdallah, because we have to separate the head of, it's a good Gemara, and then he talk when you pronounce animal dead and when a person considered it.
Very good. So all the points that you're raising, we're going to talk about shortly.
I love you. Come here.
I understand.
Pray for me, Rabbi. I don't feel well.
Okay, so you should be well. So let's go third line from the top.
When he doesn't, so you're saying that there's no Roy Basar being, in other words, the procedure is that it's not...
You'll see the Gemara. You're going to see the Gemara. The Gemara is going to speak it out. He saw the Reb Zeiro and Reb Zeiro went up there. He saw Ashkel the Rabami, the Yosef, the Kamalosh Maitze. He's repeating the halacha of Zairi, that what? Nishma Mafrekes, Roy Basar Ima, it's Nevela. Zok the Gemara, Omalei, so Reb Zeiro said to Reb Ami, V'chimesa, oimet umoylek. Word for word, what Rav had asked yesterday, the bird is already dead. The Rabbeinu Shalom requires you to do Malika. Says Gemara, Ishtoimem kechshoa chada. When he heard the Shaila, he was flabbergasted. He was amazed. Initially, he didn't know what to answer. But eventually, he said, Omalei, eima kachu oisa. I'll tell you what you're supposed to do. Listen carefully. Choytech shedru umafrekes, beloy roiv basar. Only go and cut through the mafrekes and not the roiv basar. Because as long as you're not removing the roiv basar, that tissue and flesh that is surrounding the mafrekes will keep it intact, and therefore it's still a live bird. Tana mihocha b'yirai from a braisa. Ketzen molken. How do you do the Malika? So first, the Braisa tells us there's a difference between a Chatas Oif and an Oilas Oif. Chatas Oif, Choytech Shedu Mafrekes, Beloy Roiv Basar. Once again, like we just said. Aj Magilaveshed Oilakana, until he reaches, after he's cut through the Mafrekes, goes directly ahead, and now he's reached the Kana and Veshed. Higilaveshed Oilakana, Choytech Simen Echad, Oiruboy, Veroiv Basar Imoy. What he's telling us is, as opposed to an oilas oif, where you have to go and do a malika on both simonim, on chatas oif you only do it on one simon, or even on roiv of one simon. Why is it different by chatas oif than oilas oif? Because chatas oif, it says befeidish in the pasuk that the comets are koyin, mimul arpoi v'loyavdil. V'loyavdil, he should not make a total havdolah. Leave it connected. How you leave it connected? With one simon. One simon you can sever, one simon you leave intact. But that's by the chatas oif. Uba oila, meaning by the oilas oif, the halach is shnayim oiroiv shnayim. With this we have concluded that shtickle. In other words, we've now answered the kasha both at Rava post yesterday and Reb Zeira post today. How can you do a malika on a dead oif? And the answer is no. Because when you go and break through initially the mafrekes, you make sure the loiroi basar, all the surrounding tissue and flesh, remains intact. As a result, the bird could continue to live. It is not a dead bird. It's not an avela. So when eventually are you going to complete the malika? Afterwards, the Kohen is going to put his continue putting his finger through until he reaches one or both of the simanim, depending on whether it's a chatas or oif or oilas or oif. And at the same time, he will also sever the roif basar. And now with that, he can conclude the entire malika. Good, so we're finished with the shtickel. And now the Gemara is asking on that last piece that we spoke about, the oilas or oif, that shnaim oi roif shnaim. Money. Who does this go according to? Irabonan ho amri shnaim davka. What does that mean? This braisa ended off in such a beautiful fashion and says, by the oilas oif, what you have to do is make sure that the malika of the kohen severs either both of the simonim, the kohen and the veshet, or roiv of the simonim. Not the whole thing, just roiv. Says the Gemara, these two approaches or these two options l'choyre don't work according to anyone. And who are the anyone that we're talking about? In Yet Hashem, as we get to the bottom of the Omid, we're going to see that we're going to have a braisa where we're going to have three man the Omrim altogether, Rabbanon, Reb Yishmael, and Reb Lozer, Reb Shimon. Our Gemara doesn't focus on Reb Yishmael, it only focuses on the Rabbanon, Reb Lozer, Reb Shimon. The Rabbanon are going to say to me, Mekayim, the mitzvah of Malikas, Oiles Oif. You have to do Malika on both of them. Shnaim, Kulam, not Rubam. Kulam, totally sever it. Total Havdalah. Masha Inke, according to Blazer Reb Shimon, he will say, no. You should Dafka do Roiv Shnaim and not Kol Shnaim. And therefore, that being the case, this Brisa doesn't stem like either one. Because the Brisa gives you both options. Oila, either Shnaim or Roiv Shnaim. Freiti Maramani. Who does this Brisa go according to? Ira Banu Amri Shnaim. Dafka, no, it's got to be Kuloi Shnaim, Nishka Roiv, Kuloi Shnaim. Ira Blood Reb Shimon, Omer Roiv Shnaim, Dafka, only Roiv Shnaim, not more than that. You know, you're saying to yourself, you don't see the word Dafka in the Gemara.
About Eli to talk. Eli.
So you have so far that Goyz Vitzionim adds a Dafka. Yeah, okay, one second. So you have that Goyz Vitzionim adds the word Dafka. And even if we didn't have the benefit of the Goyz Vitzionim, if you look in Rashi, Rashi says the word Dafka. Where's this Rashi? Asog Yisra, no. Tim Toim Nishba Mafrekis, no. Ha'omer Roiv Shnaim. Ha'omer Roiv Shnaim, it's about 10, 12 lines on the top of the Amid. Ha'omer Roiv Shnaim, Dafka. You see, Rashi inserts the word, or a Goyz Vitzionim insert the word. Doesn't make a difference, but the point is, it's not that he says, you don't need total Shnaim. You can also do Roiv Shnaim. No. Roiv Shnaim Davka. So these two, therefore. I'm sorry?
Oilas
Oif. Oilas
Oif. You have to have Havdalah.
Hey, Rabbi Yisrael. The Tzimoin, the thirst for Torah is so intense that the Oilam wants to know everything al Regalachas. That's why if we give all the answers now that we could close the Gemara. We're going to deal with all of these issues shortly. But the point is, these are mutually exclusive. Either you hold Kulei Shnaim, or you hold Rubei Shnaim, but you can't have it both ways. So Mani Irabana Amri Shnaim Dafka, Amri Shnaim Dafka. Everything Gemara is Nishta Zoi Shveh, that this Braisa is telling us, Eime Shnaim Lirabanan, Roiv Shnaim, Little Blows of Reb Shimon. The Tan of this Braisa doesn't want to take sides, and therefore he says, the important halacha that I'm trying to teach you, says the Tana, is don't have your kasha on Ze'iri. Because Ze'iri is talking about a case of Mafrekis with Roiv Basar, don't do the Malika that way. Do the Mafrekis without the Roiv Basar. Just do the Roiv Basar at the end, but not at the beginning. That's the essence of the message of the Braisa. Oh, by the way, you're talking about Oilas Oif. Let me tell you, you got to either sever the two simanim entirely, like the Rabbanan, or you have to go and sever Roiv of the two simanim, like Reb Lozer Reb Shimon. To be discussed further in the Gemara, who is Reb Lozer Reb Shimon, who are the Rabbanan? We're going to have that on the bottom of the Amud. V'i boyis eima anocham pshat. This Bryce is only going to Reb Shimon. What does it mean, Shadoimim Lishnaim? So Rashi explains that both the Shnaim or Roiv Shnaim are talking about Roiv Shnaim. The difference between Shnaim and Roiv Shnaim in the Gemara is that Shnaim is talking about that it is such a strong Roiv that it is so discernible, it looks almost like it's Gan Shnaim. meaning that anybody that sees that shechita or that malika sees, oh, yeah, good ketan, I see, it's clear. At least 75%, 80% has been severed, no question, kosher malika. Or Rav Shnayim, it wasn't so discernible, not so recognizable, you had to go and strain a little bit. Is it Rav? Yeah, stuck a Rav, yeah, it's 51%, 52%, 55%. But it wasn't a ganze discernible Shnayim. So that's what he means. It looks almost as if you severed both of them. Why? Because Rashi says it's a roiv lehedja shenir leinayim. See, look at the Rashi. The Rashi is right after the previous one of the Davka. Shadoim leshnaim delchatchila beinan shiachtech roiv lehedja. What means lehedja? Shenir leinayim shuroiv. That anybody, any of Nishkazak roiv sechuchim, passes by and says, Shavada, you see, Shavada. It wasn't the whole thing, it was 80%, 90%, but no question. Oy Roiv Shnayim means, even if it was only 51%, it's all good. Because according to Blazer Reb Shimon, Roiv is sufficient, either a strong Roiv or even a Shvacha Roiv, but Roiv is enough. We're going to come back to Rebbe and Blazer Reb Shimon later on in the Gemara. In the meantime, the Gemara is going to go off a little bit on a tangent and talk about not only Oifos, we're going to talk about Adam, we're going to talk about Behema, we're going to talk about Shrotzim, as you'll see in the Gemara shortly. Zoktimar Omer Vina Mashmul, Nishba Mafrekes Veroy Basar Ima, if they have by a person, Rachmona Litzlan, who his spinal cord has been severed with the surrounding tissue, this means this person is nebuch a goner, metame ba'oil. This person metame ba'oil, says Rashi, v'afilim afarches, even if the person is still jerking around. In other words, he hasn't been confirmed dead yet by the doctors. Nevertheless, he is already metame ba'oil. Anybody and everything inside that oil unfortunately becomes tameh to mess because of this individual. So it has to be a combination, like Ze'iri said, mafrekes v'roiv basar, says Shmuel, the same thing applies to an odom, to a person. If you look at the pasuk about Eli, what pasuk about Eli? Oh, we're going to see that in another line. You don't even have to.
Then he mentioned his age.
Exactly.
Because he don't die only.
Very good. Very good.
Don't go to die.
Beautiful. 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 So we're going to see in by case of Eli in another moment that he in fact died right after the severing of the mafrekis, even without the roiv basar. But you said that it's only metam ba'oil mafrekis with roiv basar. So Gemara have blei roiv basar have. So Gemara zikna shiny. If you're talking about a regular, normal individual, that nebuch, he has a severed spinal column, he's not a dead person yet, as long as the roiv basar is intact, and that can hold it together. We see by Eli that he had a mafrekes below roiv basar, and he died instantaneously. Why don't you go and say it? Well, mafrekes below roiv basar, didn't you say that the tissue can hold it in place, and he should have lived for another few years? The problem was, ziknishani, he was already an elderly individual. Tachsiv, like it said in the pasuk, vayika haskirei esaroinu alekim, we're talking about that they took the orin out to fight against, I believe, the plishtim, and unfortunately they captured that orin, and then Eli was beside himself. Vayika haskirei esaroinu alekim, when they told him this story, that the goyim had unfortunately captured the orin, vayipo mialakise achiranis, he fell from his chair backwards, ba'ad yada shar next to the shar next to the gate, ba'tishomim mafrakto yenebuch, his mafrekis broke, vayomais, and he died. Doesn't say anything about the roiv basar. So therefore, the Gemara is being medayik by the fact that it doesn't say anything about roiv basar. It says mafrekis is enough, vayomais, and he died. But then the pasuk continues on and gives us the reason, kizokina ish v'kaved, because he was already an elderly individual and heavy. That combination, even though it was just the Shviras and Mafrekis, that was enough Nebuch to go and kill him on the spot. But a regular, normal Odom who's not a Zokin V'Kaved, then even though it's Nishba Mafrekis, as long as Roiv HaBosar is still intact, he could still continue to live. Omer B'Shmu Bar Nachmeni, Omer B'Yoichanan, Koru Kedag, or Kroi Kedag, Metame B'Oil. What happens, Nebuch, a human being, was sliced like a dog, We'll see what that means in a moment. That person also cannot possibly live. Migabai means, if any of you have ever been to a fishmonger when they had live fish, or at least fish was totally intact. Many, many years ago here in Broadway, we had such a fishmonger that you can go and buy a live fish. Really? Yeah, yeah. And they killed it in front of you. Anyway, what do? They, after that, have to take out all of the innards, because nobody's interested in having the innards of the fish. And so, therefore, they cut it open. You can cut it open from the belly, or you can cut it open from the back. What our Gemara is telling us is, Shmuel Bar Yitzchak says, when do you say that a person who's nebuch been cut vertically from head downwards, like a dag rachman litzlan? One would we say, no, from the head, maybe only from the shoulders and down. When is a matam be'oil? Only if it happens to be from the back of the individual, not from the front of the individual.
Matam be'oil is considered that he's dead immediately?
He's dead, on the spot he's dead. And that's the reason.
Even if he's still breathing.
Even if still breathing, even if he's still jerking, even if he's still saying toira rachman litzlan, he's dead. Rashi says a film of Farchis. He's still jerking around and still trying to say something, trying to talk, trying to breathe. He's already dead. But this case of the Kor Kedag is only that you cut him from the back and not from the front. However, if you made the person into a half, what means in the half? Says Rashi, doesn't have to be from the back or from the side. Nebuch, this person was sliced, either l'rochba or l'tzavara. Nebuch, an enemy came and took a large knife or a sword, and Nebuch cut the person either horizontally or vertically, by the tzavar, by the neck, or by the shedra, the entire length of the individual. That person, Rashi says, kol dover hacholuk l'shnayim kari gistra. Anything which is sliced into halves, and like this person, Rachmon Litzlan, whether it's horizontal or vertical, this person is a goner, and he has the status nebuch of dead. Shmuel now applies this not only to an individual, but even to a behemah. How do we know he's talking about a behemah? Because he talks about a nevela. By person, you wouldn't say that he's a nevela, you would say that he's a mess. So, Shmuel, I saw a gistra. If you took an animal and you sliced it any way you wanted to, it would be nebuch a nevela. So you see, we jumped first from the oifois, then we went to Bnei Adam, now we went to a behemah. Omer Blazer, continuing to talk about a behemah, nitel hayerech v'chalal shelo nevela. If you have an animal which has lost one of its legs, a yerech means the thigh, but v'chalal shelo means the empty space where the yerech would normally come out in the body. In other words, the thigh comes out from the major goof of the animal and comes down. What happens if not nitele yarech, half of the thigh, or three quarters of the thigh, but the entire thigh, so that you can see now, chalal shalah, you can see into the innards of the animal, because you see that Nebuchadnezzar is missing that major limb. It's an avela. So Timura, hechi domi chalal shalah, can you explain that to me a little bit better? Amarava kosher avutza veniris chaserim. Normally, when an animal lies on the ground, it squats or it crouches. Normally, it covers over the legs because the body of the animal lies on top of the legs. However, here it's a situation, even when the animal is squatting, you see, hey, there's a leg missing over there. I can see the hole into the body.
The gap.
The gap. Oh! In such a case, it's a nevela. This animal cannot survive. It's going to die. It has a tertius nevela. Even if you shecht it subsequently, it still remains tumma. And it's not just a question of a treifa. It's a question of nevela. Yes, sir.
In a certain sense, what you're saying is, if you are a tsayad, a hunter.
Yes, right? Yes.
And you shoot an animal.
Yes.
It's a nevela.
Exactly. It has a status of it. Exactly.
I saw it in my own life.
I'm sure you did.
When he was a kid, he lose his tail, the tail move. He say, here, he say.
That's the next Gemara. That's the next Gemara. Next Gemara. Thank you. Exactly right.
Yeah.
It's not awesome. So we've already spoken about human beings. In the Habgah, we've spoken about behemoths. We've spoken about oifois. And now we're going to talk about shrotzim. Shrotzim are the Shmoyne Shrotzim, which are enumerated in Parshas Shmini and also Parshas Re'ei. It's not every, although in Hebrew or in Yiddish, you say, talk about a Shaygetz, a Sheretz, any type of
creeping crawler,
exactly. So if you have a water bug, but not necessarily is that one of the Shmoyne Shrotzim. It probably isn't, but since we don't know for sure the identity of all the Shmoyne Shrotzim, theoretically, I mean, if I was asked, I would certainly put it up for nomination to be among the Shmoyne Shrotzim. But it could be that it's not. And therefore, if a person steps on a water bug, and assuming it's not one of the Shmoyne Shrotzim, it's not Metamba Ben Avela, it's not Metamba Bisharitz, it's not Metamba Bemes, there's no Tumah involved. Same thing applies to a Nochash, for instance, snakes. That's a more common situation where people are afraid of snakes, especially if it's a poisonous snake, and you want to go and kill it. If you kill a snake, it doesn't have the status of a nevela because it's not a behema. It is not one of the Shmoyne Shirotzim, assuming that Nochash is not one of those eight, and so therefore it's not Metame Besheret either. But here we're talking about one of the Shmoyne Shirotzim. I know for sure it's a Shmoyne Shirotzim. And Tanan Hossam, it says in the Mishnah in Mesechtus Oyeholois, that Hutzu Rosheyen means that its head has been removed, but we'll see in a moment. Lav Davka, are we talking about that it was totally decapitated, but that a significant part of the head was removed? Aval Bishem of Arkhasin, even though this reptile, this one of the Shmoyne Shrotzim, is still jerking back and forth, Tameim, it already has a din of Tumas Sheretz, because it cannot survive. And the Gemara, the Mishnah tells us, like we just heard now, Kiznav Hat Halto, the Zonov is the tail of a Litoa. Litoa is a lizard. If anybody has ever seen it, and if you haven't, I'm not recommending that you experiment, because number one, you don't want to have lizards around, but number two, it's probably a Tsar Balachayim situation if you go and cut off the zonav. But if you do cut off the tail of a lizard, you'll see it keeps on jerking back and forth. I'm sure you have. Shemifachasis. It goes back and forth in the next 3, 5, 10 seconds. And there's no head attached to it because you've cut off the zonav. See from that it has no continued life, even though it's mefarcheses. So the same thing is by the shrotzim. Even if you've severed most of the head, it's mefarches. It's already dead, just like this. But I see that it's going back and forth. It makes no difference. It's already dead. And it's already metame. If you go into a shlachtos, even today, and you see the shoychet shechting, you'll see that often the behemoth will move back and forth and jerk, and sometimes if the behemoth is standing up, it'll even take a step or two and walk around a little bit, and then it'll of course collapse, and then it will be officially dead. But it's dead at the time of cutting of the two siman. Zok Dimara, so we start, yes?
If you just skit on the behemoth, find that, for example, it has lungs
have holes.
Holes. Mm-hmm. So that can take it away from the status of
it was a treifa even before it became an avela.
Right.
That's correct. However, if after it had the couple of holes, before you decided to go and shecht it, somebody went and made it kigistera, he cut it down the middle or something.
Right. That's.
So even if the behemoth is still jerking around, and then quickly, shaykh shnel, go and shecht. Really too late. The animal's already in the vela, and it's.
But if it had a hole in its lungs, it's not too. Then it can take. That's matah here. The
shechitah. If that's the only problem. If
so
that's
where do you draw the line?
Where the draw the line is on Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph. We're going to have a list of 18 treifas. Any one of those things does not make it into an avela, makes it into a treifa. Okay. So therefore, if subsequently you shechted it, and then you discover, there were three holes in the lungs, and the top and the bottom, and all that, it was only a treifa. So it's not matami. Okay, getting back to the Gemara, we just said this hutzu rosheyem because now v'alto. Pray to my hutzu. How do you define the word hutzu? Rish Lakish Omer hutzu mamish. Hutzu mamish means that they removed more or less the entire head. Or Rabasi Omer Rabmani ki havdolas oylas oiv. Mamish like the havdolas oylas oiv. Pray to my Omer the Rabbi Omer the Rabasi ki havdolas oylas oiv the Rabbanan v'loy palgisu. You remember just about 5 minutes ago, we established that there's a machlokes between the Rabban and the Blazer Reb Shimon when it comes to the Oilas Oif Is it a total severance of both simanim? Rav Lezer Shimon said, no, only roiv simanim. Aha. Since Hutsu certainly has that sense of decapitation, that the head is no longer there, ooh, so then that sounds very much like the Havdolas Oilef Oif according to the Rabbanon. And therefore, asks now Rabbi Yirmit to Rav Asi. Rav Asi said that the word Hutsu is Kavdolas Oilef Oif. Rish Lakish said it's Hutsu Mamish. Rav Asi says Kavdolas Oilef Oif. Rabbi Yirmit says to Rav Asi, were you just saying the same thing like the Rabbanon, but perhaps you're saying it in perhaps a more genteel language? You didn't want to say Hutsu Rishayim, so therefore, oh, like the Havdolas Oilef Oif, but you're saying the same thing. V'loi Plagiso. You're both saying the same thing, that a total Havdolah. Oidilma, maybe when you said Kavdolas Oilef Oif, the Reb Lezer Reb Shimon, and it's only Roiv Uplagiso, in fact, therefore you're arguing that the first Rish Lakish is Hutsu Rishayim, Hutsu Mamish, nothing left. And you're saying, no, it's only two-thirds. Ah, then you have a machlaikis. When does it have the status of being metame, like a dead sheret? Reish Lakish said, dafka hutsu mamish, oh, take off the head, and then it's metame, according to Basir Ramani. No, even two-thirds, it's already metame. So, are you arguing, or are you saying the same thing in different words? Amalek Abdullah Yitzhak Rebbe Shimon, uplaginon. In fact, there is a machlaikis between Reish Lakish and Rav Asi Omer Ramani, that according to Rish Lakish, we're talking about a gantz havdalah. Well, Rav Asi Omer Ramani says, no, the havdalah of Rav Lezer Reb Shimon, which is just the roif. And Ikad Yami, the next version, is virtually the same. It's in, certainly in the conclusion. According to this first version, there was a question and answer where Rabbi Yirmiyah said to Rav Asi, what did you mean when you said havdalah oilef oif was like Rav Lezer Reb Shimon, or like the Rabbanon? And the Ikad Yami goes straight to the point. Ikad Yami Reb Shimon Lakshish Omer Hutsu Mamish. Reb Asi Omer Ramani kept all the same. Oiv Le Reb Lezer Reb Shimon Beroiv Shnayim. So there was no dialogue. He said it clearly. You don't need a ganze Hutsu. It's enough. Like Reb Lezer Reb Shimon Beroiv Shnayim.
When Reb Lezer Reb Shimon says Malika Beroiv Shnayim, a shechita by an oaf is one simon.
Mm-hmm.
Is Reb Lezer Reb Shimon saying you need Beroiv Shnayim by Malika?
By Oilef Oif Kuli Alma Moida, you have to have both simanim.
Because of the Havdalah. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Only question is, do you need Ganze Shnayim or Roif Shnayim?
Okay, thank you.
Prevented from being available.
Exactly. Zok Timar, Mayra Bon, Mayra Blazer Reb Shimon. You've piqued my curiosity. You've mentioned them already a couple of times. Who's Rabban, who's Reb Lezer Reb Shimon, the Simon? And now we have a Braisa. And the Braisa is going to bring three Madiyamim, Rabbanan, then Rabbi Shmuel, and Reb Lezer Reb Shimon, but the focus of our Gemara is only going to be number one and number three, Rabban Reb Lezer Reb Shimon. Deciding we learn the Braisa. V'esasheni asa oila kamishpot. What is this referring to? Our famous chatas oila v'yoyred. What's a chatas oila v'yoyred? There are three averis at the end of Parshas Vayikra, that if a person is oiver those, one of those three surim, he doesn't bring a chatas kavua, but he brings a chatas oila v'yoyred. What's a chatas oila v'yoyred? If the person happens to be a wealthy individual, he brings a chatas of a kizba or seira, like your regular chatas. But what happens if he can't afford that? Then what he has to do is he has to bring two oifois. And if he can't even afford that, yeah, dali dalis, he has to bring a carbon mincha.
We can give ugot also.
Exactly. Our Gemara, however, doesn't talk about the third level of mincha. We're only talking about now the oifois. Now, it's, if you will, curious. Rabbi Yisrael, obviously that was his kavana, that the first, the top level, you bring one animal, a kizbor seira, which is a chatas behem. If, however, you can't afford it, then you bring two oifois, and here we throw in not only a chatas oif, but also an oilas oif. So, to compensate for not bringing one behema, a chatas, you bring two oifois, chatas and oila. Okay, very good. Now, if you look in the Seder HaPsukim, one pasuk says, bring your chatas behema, the imdal hu ve'en yodoy masegis, he can't afford it, he's going to bring either shtei toirim or shnei b'nei yoinim. The first of those two he's going to bring as a carbon chatas oif. And then the pasuk continues, ve'esa sheini yasa oila, meaning an oila sa oif, ka mishpat, like the rules and requirements that apply. That's all we need for purposes of that pasuk and our discussion. The question is, how do you define the word kam mishpat? And the Gemara assumes that it means one of two things. Either like mishpat of chatas behema, or mishpat chatas hu oif. Why would I say that it's mishpat chatas behema? Because after all, this oilas oif together with the chatas oif are just substitutes, replacements for the chatas behema. So even though this is a din of an oilas oif, but do it like a chatas behema. What does that mean? Yeah. Do it. Okay, the Gemara is going to address that. But that's the first pshat, chatas behema. The second pshat is that since the prior pasuk, after we spoke about the chatas behema, done, finished. V'imdal hu v'en yod ha'masek, he has to bring two oifois, and the first oif is chatas oif. V'yaz ha'shen yas oif ha'kamishpat, kamishpat chatas hu oif. So that's going to be the shaila of how you understand the word mishpat, and the Gemara is going to address that right now. Each of the three Mandi Amrim are going to have to come up with a decision, mishpat chatas behema or chatas oif, and what does that mean in real terms? What's the nafkimen? So zokti mar. This is the rabban of the Tanakama. V'esesheni yasoy lekamishka mishpat chatas behema. At oim kamishpat chatas behema oy einei ela kamishpat chatas oif. Maybe he's coming to tell you that this oilas oif should be like a chatas oif. Now, what halacha would then apply? Says Rashi, that just like by chatas oif, it says in the pasuk, umolakas roishim emul arpai velo yavdil, don't be mavdil, therefore only do one simon and not both simonim. That's how I could learn the pasuk. No, kishu oimer, it says in beginning of parashas vayikra, when we talk about the oilas oif, it says vehikri voi. It could have said v'hikriv hakoyin, but it says v'hikrivoy. Hikrivoy, that additional vav is telling us, I'm distinguishing now between the oilas ha'oif and the chatas ha'oif. V'hikrivoy, only by the oilas ha'oif do it in this fashion, because the chatas ha'oif is different. The two are not the same. And therefore, says Yimara, chilek ha'kosh, the Torah is being mechalek between the chatas ha'oif, that by the chatas ha'oif, the pasuk says, the loyavdil, and therefore leave one simon intact. Mashenkin the oilas oif. No, do not leave it intact. There we are mavdil after all. Okay, so for our purposes now, we have now established the identity of the rabbanon. That the rabbanon say oilas oif and chatas oif are totally different. Chatas oif is only one simon. The loyavdil oilas oif because it says vehikrivoy. You have to be mavdil both simanim, and not roiv. Ganza simanim, both simanim. That's the rabban. But now, let's understand what means kamishpat chatas behema. Umani mekayim kamishpat chatas, kamishpat, kamishpat chatas behema. We already established, the rabban says, it does not mean kamishpat chatas oif, because it's vikrivoy. So it's kamishpat chatas behema. So what does that mean? Machatas behema. We learned three halachot. Number one, if you want to go and bring your chatas behema, you have to take chulin money. In other words, a person who is a farmer, he has, Baruch Hashem, he had a nice crop, nice produce. He has to take the maaser sheni up to Yerushalayim. So what did he do? I can't schlep all of these pears to Yerushalayim. It's just too heavy. And not only because you'd have to hire 10 U-Haul trucks to haul all of this produce, it's also chas v'shalom, it's going to go and rot, it's going to spoil. So the Torah says, v'tzarta kesa biyodcha, what you can do is you can go and be poido, or you can be mechalel, the maaser sheni produce on money, and take the money up to Yerushalayim. And what are you going to do with that money? Predominantly, they use it to go and buy a carbon shlomim. Oh, and then they serve the whole family with that shlomim, based on the maaser sheni money. No problem with that. That's fine. What happens if I want to bring a carbon chatas behema with maaser sheni money? Oh, no, 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 no. You can only bring it from chulin money. How do I know that you're talking about a chatas behema? You have to bring it from chulin money and not from maaser sheni money. The Gemara will tell us on the Amud Aleph. We learn it from the carbon of par chatas of a haren that he brought on Yom Kippur, where it says, par chatas asher loy. It's got to be Mishaloi, V'loi Mishal Tzibur, V'loi Mishal Maisa. Ah, so just like by the Chatas Behema, it cannot be brought from Maser Behema, it has to be from Chulin money. If you're bringing your Oilas Oif, it also has to be Davka from Chulin money. Number two, ubiyoim. You have to go and bring this oilas oiv during the day. You cannot bring it at night. And Barry's thinking to himself, oh, kabanas you have. And the Gemara is going to ask that kasha. But in the meantime, that's what we learn from the Chatas Behemoth. It's got to be brought by Yoim. How do I know Chatas Behemoth has to be brought by Yoim? Says the Gemara once again from Mahar Nakoyin. Says in the Pasuk by Yom Kippur. Ki ba Yoim azeh yichapar aleichem lefnei Hashem lekeichem letayr eschem. Etc. etc. So kibayoyim azeh. Oh, just like Chatas Behemoth bayoyim, you have to go and bring the malika so oila so oif also bayoyim. And finally, ubi yodei hayimonis. When you're doing the insertion of the finger for purposes of the malika, you got to do with your right finger and not with the thumb of your left hand. It's got to be from the right hand. So just like over there, biyodei hayimonis. Here, when you're talking about Chatas Behema, obviously we're not talking about Malika, but we're talking about dabbing the four corners on the top of the Mizbeach with Dam, which is what you have to do with Chatas. When did we learn that? Yeah, we learned that not too long. In Zvachim, and a lot of that was repeated in Menachos. Exactly. So you have to be Toval and Nosan Akoyim. Veloka Chakoyim Midam Chatas Be'etzboi. Venosan, he puts on the Arbakarnes, on top of the Mizbeach. Ah, so therefore, which finger do you use for purposes of that Nesina Saddam? You use the Yodi Amanis. Can't use master money. Ubi Yoim is got to be broaching the day. Ubi Yodi Ha Yemanis. Ah, so that's what we learn now from Chatas Behem. Imal Halon Beroiv Shnayim. Just like by Behema, we're going to learn in Miyat Hashem a little bit further down, I think, in Dafchav Zayin, that although the mitzvah by Behema, Shchita, you have to go and shecht both Simanim, but you don't have to shecht their entirety, even Rubai Kikulai. Remember we had that a couple of days ago in the Gemara, that Roiv does it, and the Gemara said, maybe that's going according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanin or something. And the Gemara says, every Simon, it says in Shas, right, Rubai Kikulai, it's that man, the Yama, no, we've got Mishchita. So we've got Mishchita, Roiv Shnaim works. Says, look, the Gemara, Imal Alon, Roiv Shnaim, maybe by Ulis Oiv, since we're learning Ulis Oiv from Chattas Behema, Afkam Roiv Shnaim, Tamaloima, no, it says, Molak Vihikter. Ma hakara harosh ba'atzma guf ba'atzma yaf malika harosh ba'atzma v'guf ba'atzma. Totally severed, no roiv business. Totally severed. The way does it say umalak v'hikter that we make some sort of hekish between one and the other? So Rashi points out that the pasuk on the surface seems to be written in a strange way. If you look at pasuk number aleph era ois aleph ve'krive hakoyin elam izbayach. Malak is roishoy. You do malika. The hikter ham is beicha, and now you do haktora. The nimtza domoy al kir mizbeach, and you do the mitzi hadam on the wall of the mizbeach. And the obvious question is, what after the haktora of the oilas oif? You're going to do mitzoy. There's not going to be any blood left. In fact, it's all going to be burned. It's going to be ash. What does that mean? Hikter ham mizbeicha, the nimtza domoy. So Chazal is saying, Toidus Koyanim, Nisifra, that the reason why Kodesh Baruch Hu put the word Viktira Mizbecha right after Umolak, preceding Venimtsa Domai, is to tell you that you make a Hekish. Lika to Haktorah. Just like Bahaktorah, you do them separately. Haroish Ba'atzmoy, Bahaguf Ba'atzmoy. So to Malika, it's got to be Haroish Ba'atzmoy, Guf Ba'atzmoy means total Havdalah. And in that respect, it's different than the Chatas Behema, and it's certainly different than the Chatas Oif. Right. Here you have to be Mavdal Gansa Simonim, Nishka Roiv Simonim in Gansa.
And that's why you alter it.
That's why you alter it. You put it on the altar. Very good. Beautiful.
This is going to even important.
This is only Rabban so far. We have not really gotten to Rabban Shimon. In fact, if you want to look ahead, two lines from the bottom of the Omid, and that's when he's going to go and say Roif. But so far we only have the Rabban. And the Rabban say it's got to be Gans Shnayim and not just Roif Shnayim. The Gemara is going to ask Miyat Hashem on the Omid Aleph that the Chayda, now I have two separate drushes according to Rabbanan. Because back on the Omid Aleph, I already know that you have to go and sever both Simonim. Not like Chatas Oif, because it says, V'hikri voy. Chilek ha-kosim in Chatas Oif, la-oilas Oif, that you have to go and do Shnayim. And now we have Umalak V'hikter, that's telling you, Roish ba'atzme, V'gof ba'atzme, they have to do Shnayim. So the Chayda, according to Rabbanan, I have two separate drushes to tell us the exact same thing. What do I need the two drushes for? Stay tuned to Mir Tashem to the Omer Aleph. Rabbi Shmuel Omer. Now, this Rabbi Shmuel is part of the Braisa, but it's not part of the discussion vis-a-vis Rabbanan and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. What does Rabbi Shmuel hold? He also starts off Kamishbat. Remember, the Oilas Oif by the second level of the Chattas Oila V'yoyred, where it says, yes, Oilas Oif, you do it Kamishbat. The question is, Kamishbat what? So, before, the Rabbanan said it means Kamishbat Chattas Behema. Says Rabbi Shmuel, no, it's Chattas Oif. Why Chattas Oif? Because that's really right before it in the previous passage. Torah said, "Vimdal hu ven yod maseges." Bring two Torah bnei yoina. First one you do for a chatos. Ve'sasheini yase oila kamishpat. Kamishpat what the chatos oif, which was I was just talking about. That was in the previous set, as opposed to the chatos behema, which is two or three psukim earlier. Kamishpat chatos oif. So therefore, what do I learn oila oif from chatos oif? My chatos oif mimul oirev, because by chatos oif it doesn't say where the Malika takes place. It just says a Malakas Roishoi. But it doesn't say where on the Roish. But by the Chattas Oif it does say Mimul Or Poivale Yavdil. So just like by the Chattas Oif it's Mimul Oirev, for Ilis Oif it's also going to be Mimul Oirev. So Gemara, Imal Halon, once I'm learning for Chattas Oif, Moilek Veinem Avdil B'Simen Echad, Afkan Moilek Veinem Avdil B'Simen Echad, L'Choyra, I should say, once you're saying it's Mamashka Chattas Oif, it says Mimul Or Poi, V'lo Yavdil. V'lo Yavdil means only one Simen, and not two Simonim. But everybody agrees, by Oilas Oif, it's two Simonim. So what does Rabbi Shmuel do with that? He says, in that respect, I do not learn it from Chattas Oif. I only learn it Lagabi, the location where one does a Malika, Mimul Oiref, in the back of the neck, as opposed to the back of the head or the front of the head, Mimul Oiref. What about how many Simonim? I don't learn that from here. Talmud Loim, I have another possibility, Krivoy, which is what we already had in the Omer Aleph that Tanakhama brought, that the Krivoy comes to tell you that the severance of the Simonim, in the case of a Malika, by Oiles Oif, is different than the case of the Chattas Oif. That's why it doesn't say Vihikriv. It says Vikrivoy. This guy, the Oiles Oif, is special. It's not the same thing as the Chattas Oif.
So he gets severance.
He gets severance.
Oh. What's this Rabbi Shmuel Tanakhama then?
So Gabi, this halacha, no difference. Both of them agree.
In general, what's the difference between Tanakhama and Rabbi Shmuel?
The gematria of the Tanakhama.
No. And their shittas on this. How are they?
There's no difference. The Gabi Hilchos Havdola by the Oilas Oif. Both of them agree that you have to be mavdil both simonim in their entirety.
So what is Rabbi Shmuel adding then?
He's only adding that I'm defining the word kamishbat differently than the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama learned kamishbat means kamishbat chatas behema, says Rabbi Shmuel, and therefore I learned the three halachas. Rabbi Shmuel says, no, I learned Kamishbat Chattas Oif. And therefore, it's theoretically possible that Rabbi Shmuel does not agree with the Tanakhama, the Gabi, the other halachas, the Gabi, the Chulin, the Yoim, the Yodi Hayamanis.
Wow.
That's what our Gemara mentioned.
There's a silent on it, but still, it's extraordinary. How could he disagree? But okay.
It could be he learns it from, as we'll see in the Gemara shortly, there could be other drushes to teach us the same things. So you learn it from somewhere else. Now we come to our favorite blazer, Rabbi Shimon Oimer. Favorite in the sense, he is the one that said, Roiv Shnayim Davka. How does Rabbi Shimon learn that? Again, we start off Kamishbat. Everybody focuses on that same word, Kamishbat. And Kamishbat Chattas Oif. Oh, so in that sense, he learns like Rabbi Shmuel, like Chattas Oif. Mal Halon, just like by the Chattas Oif. Oiches Beroish Ubeguf Umazah. Then when it comes to the Hazor, you grab the Roish and the Guf. Sounds like you're taking two separate pieces and you're holding them in your hand together at one time, and you do hazor. Afkan oiches beroish ubeguf umaze. You take the roish and the guf and your maze. Now that lechida doesn't work by a chatas oif, because a chatas oif, we said, continues to be connected not just with an umbilical cord but with one of the simonim, and not a litishu, but the actual one of the two pipes, because it's lo yavdil.
But he says you have to do rov shnayim. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon says you're doing rov shnayim.
My good friend, yeah. We're starting off kamishbat chatas oif.
Okay.
Mal halon oiches
beroish. Classic
chatas oif. There's no machlekes over there. You only do one simon because it says v'lo yavdil. So if it's v'lo yavdil, so then it's attached. What is it? He holds on to the roish. Kohen, do me a favor, give me now the guf. I want to hold both of them together at the same time.
In one hand.
In one hand. And he asked him, please give me a hand.
Yeah.
Wait, I don't understand. They're connected. So to my Ka'amar, we have to make a slight emendation. Hachi Ka'amar, not oiches b'roish u'beguf, but ochuz haroish beguf. At the time of the Hazor, you're holding the Rosh and Guf, which are connected together, they're Ochuz. When it's still connected, one with the other, by the Oyla Sa'oif, that's how you do the Hazor when they are connected. Ah. So, Timar Imal Alon Mesimen Echad. Just like by the case of the Chata Sa'oif, you only need to sever one simen, and therefore the connecting tissue is that other simen and other tissue. No, I told you that this oyla sa'oif is different than the chata sa'oif. The chata sa'oif is loyavdil, but here the ikrivoy, you are mavdil. That's the end of the brisa.
So he does malika, but he doesn't do complete malika. He does the
roiv of the shnayim.
So he goes, he's by the Mizbeach, and he just does the robe of the shnayim.
That is correct.
And then he does Mitzui.
He does
Hazar. Allah's office Hazar.
Right. And by Chathas you have Zohar and Mitzui.
Okay. So he does Hazar, and then he completes the... For all
it's not necessary. He did the Hazor is holding on to the whole thing, and according to Reb Lozer Reb Shimon, they are still connected.
Right.
Not only they're connected with Oyer, but they're also connected with one simon.
Right,
so therefore, it's Ochuz Baroish Begov. He has Shechted, not Shechted.
Malak.
Sorry, thank you. By the Chata Sa'oif, he was only Moilik one. By the case of the Oyla Sa'oif, he was Moilik both. But he's not Moedic and severs it entirely. It's only Roiv Shnai. Mm-hmm. So it's still most. Holding on. Most, thank you. You're the hostess with the mostess. You have the miut of both of the simanim, which are still attached, as well as the or and any other tissue and basa that are there.
Good. So
according to the Roiv.
The Roiv. The Roiv is gemolakt, not geshochten, gemolakt, and the miut is still remaining intact.
Okay.
Right. So according to Elizabeth Shimon, Haris Abdullah of the Rosh and the body of the Olas Oaf work. You've done Malika on both Simanim,
right.
Rove of both Simanim.
Mm-hmm.
How are you doing? Aren't you
still? That is called Abdullah. Abdullah does not require that you go and
separate the head.
As long as Rove, Rubik, Kikula, it's as if you're done.
Maybe this question is premature, but when I read the Pasuk,
yes.
And I was saying Kamishpat, Ola Sa'of. Why are we importing Mishpat Chata Sa'of when we're talking about Ola Sa'of? It's a different corner of the Mizbeach. It's a different area. Why are we saying Mishpat is referring to Chata Sa'of at all? It's startling to me that we're saying that Mishpat is referring to Chata Sa'of. We had Ola Sa'of. How does Ola Sa'of? Ayin, the south, northwest corner of the Mizbeach, all the details we had in Zvachim. Why are we saying Kamishpat? Is something referring to Chata Sa'of?
That's certainly the Pashup Shat, L'choyde, exactly what you're saying. But that's a Chazal had a Bekabala, that the Kamishpat means something else. Rashi used the expression here in the Amud Aleph, Kamishpat Mashma Shekotzev HaMishpat Mokam Acher. Somewhere else we have those rules and regulations, and we have to import them now to the case of the Oyla Sa'oif by the Chatas Oyla V'yoyred. So which one is the logical one to apply? Which Mishpat? So the Gemara assumes we're talking about the Mishpat of one of the preceding Psukim, which I was just talking about. I just talked about the Chatas Behema. Like the Chatas Behema. No, I just spoke about the Chatas Oif. You're talking about the Chatas Oif. To say that it's referring to the Oyla Sa'oif of Nedova, which you have elsewhere, the Gemara doesn't entertain that possibility. Now, how do I know, according to Blood Reb Shimon, that it's only Roiv Shnayim? So Rashi says, because I have a Stiras Hapsukim, and I have to now come up with a Pshara. What's a Stiras Hapsukim? On the one hand, what does Reb Blood Reb Shimon say? That the Mishpat of this Oiv Sa'oiv is like a Chatas Oiv. So what does it say by Chatas Oiv? It's supposed to remain loyavdil, which means only one simon and not both simonim. Oh, so that's what I learned from Chatas Oiv. Yeah, but it says Vikrivoi. Vikrivoi says that Oilas Oiv is different than Chatas Oiv. So how is it different? You just said that they're the same. since one pasuk says it's the same, the other pasuk says it's different, we're going to make a compromise. And the compromise is we're going to go and do a malika on two simanim, but not totally. But rather, we're going to go and do, we're going to cut back.
We're
going to mulek back. And how are we going to mulek back? Only roiv of the two simanim. That is sufficient. And not only that sufficient.
Dafka.
And we dafka put in the word, because Rashi put in the word.
Ultimately, how you separate it in makrav, you ultimately have to cut it.
By the Haktorah.
Yeah,
I don't know, maybe we'll talk about that further, okay. But at least at this point, we, at the time of the Malika, you have this compromise. That's the great compromise of today's Gemara.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now we could theoretically stop here.
Please don't.
However, another way of doing it, cutting it in half, we make it like a gistera. But we're going to go and finish until the Mishnah with everybody's kind permission, because it's all pretty straightforward, and we've learned a lot of this back in Zvach. V'tanakama. Now we finished the Braisa, we have answered our question. The Gemara started off, who is this Reb Lozer, Reb Shimon, and who is this Rabbanan that you've referred to a couple of times, that one requires Kulishnaim, the other Rubishnaim? We have now identified them, Baruch Hashem, including we had a freebie, we had another Mandiyama, Reb Shimon. So tomorrow, V'tanakama. So now we're just going to analyze the Braisa. V'tanakama. What did we say? Remember, we already mentioned this when we finished off the Tanakama. Umolak v'hikter on the Omid base. Mahatorah haroish ba'atzmai, v'guf ba'atzmai, avmalika roish ba'atzmai, guf ba'atzmai. So then, obviously, you have to make Avdolah. If you have to make Avdolah, why did he say in the Omid Aleph, Tzolka daitachim v'neshulen v'kam v'mishpat chattas oiv, kishoi v'v'ikriv oiv, chilek akos min chattas oiv lo'ilas oiv. To tell you, Chatas Oif is one simon, and Oilas Oif is two simon. But if I have two drushes telling me the same thing,
right.
Now that I have, see, if you only had the first drusha of the Hikrivoi, I could theoretically learn like Reb Lozer, Reb Shimon, that the Hikrivoi doesn't tell you Ganta Simonim, only Roif Simonim. But now that I have Molek V'Hikter, tells you Ganta Simonim. Why? How do I know Ganta Simonim? Because Molek V'Hikter is, just like the Aktorah, Haroish Ba'atz V'Guf Ba'atzmoy, Af Malika Roish Ba, that's clearly Kuli Simonim. Otherwise, it'd still be a connection, the umbilical cord of that one Simon. So that clearly means a full fledged Abdullah. So what do I need the Vihikri Voi now? For Chimiach Nafkli Mimolik Vihikri Vihikri Voi Lomali. Says Mar Ila Vihikri Voi have a minna. My Kamishbat Chatasa Oif. I would not learn like the Tanakhama learns Chatas Behemah, it's a Chatas Oif. And I would not know those three halachs. Ivi Mishum Umalak Vihikter, what do I see with Malak Hikter? Have a minna mahaktorah Baroishishal Mizbeach, have Malika Baroishishal Mizbeach. I would go and say, just like Haktorah has to be on top of the altar, like you said before, here too I would say the Malika has to be on the top of the altar. But I would not know that you have to go and do a full severance with or without pay and say, Haroish Ba'atzvah Guzbat, Guf Ba'atzvah. I learned Malak Vihikter is only telling you the location. Just like the Haktorah location is on top, Malika is also on the top of his Bayah. Hash V'kosar Rechman V'ikrivoi, Droish Be'nami, come to tell you this halacha, that don't just learn Umalak V'hikter as to the location of the Malika, but also to learn that just like Bahaktorah, Zeh Ba'atzmai, V'zeh Ba'atzmai, same thing Malika, Haroish Ba'atzmai, V'aguf Ba'atzmai, that you make a full of Abdullah. So therefore, according to this pshat, the Hikrivoi is a Giloi on the drasha of Malak V'hikter. Don't limit it just to location, but expand it to tell you the halacha about the Havdalah of the two Simar. Fine. With this we have is Droish Nami and Droish Bey Nami Ha. Period. Now let's get to the three halachas that we said, according to the Tanakhama, that I'm learning Oilasa Oif from Chatas Behemah. Ma Chatas Behemah Deinu Bo Elam Menachulin, Freitimah Minolan. How do you know Chatas Behemah is only Menachulin? Amar Rav Chizkiya Makra, it says, by a Harna Koyin. Vika Baharna is para Chatas Asher Loi, Mishaloi, Veloi Mishal, Tzibur. Veloi Mishal Meiser. Oh, that's how Chazal Darshan, the par that was brought by Aharon. This is, of course, talking about a Chatas Behemah. That's a par. And you bring it on Yom Kippur. Why does it say Asher Loi? In fact, the Torah repeats it a couple of times. Asher Loi v'chibado yuvad beisoi. What does this Asher Loi come to tell you? Mishal Loi, Mishal Tzivu, Mishal Maser. It's got to be from your own personal funds, which means chulin funds, not from the Tzibur, and not from Maser Sheni funds. Oh, so that's what I learned now. Kamishbat, you're bringing now your oilas oif, do not bring it from Master Sheni funds. But then we learn a second halacha, b'yoyim, that just like there, the chatzis behema, you have to go and bring it, means shechta, bring it for a carbon during the day. Here too, you have to bring the oilas oif, you have to do it during the day. Now, where is that b'yoyim, where did you find that by the chatzis behema? So Rashi already told us on the Amud Beis, ki b'yoyim hazeh yechapra alaychem. After all, we're learning from the chatzis of Aharon HaKohen, not only the gabi hilchos, chulin and maser, but also when you bring it, b'yoyim, frey timura. That's not a special din of chatzis behema. B'yoyim tzavoyse nafka. That applies across the board to all kabbanis. How do I know all kabbanis? If you look at ois dalid in the Torah or Hashalim, Eshet tzivah Hashem as Moshe b'har Sinai, tomorrow, tzivah Hashem as Moshe b'har Sinai, on Shvias. B'yoyim tzavoyse b'nei Yisrael, l'hakrev is karbanei am la'ashem amidbar, ala kabbanis. It's not just chatzis behema. All your oilos and your chatas and your shlomim and your toilos and your asham and your bechor and maaser pesach, everything has to be brought by yoyim. You learn that from chatas behema. Says Yima, you know, you're 100% right. Kedim nazba. This was just thrown in as kind of a freebie because the real drasha is from beyond tzavoyisai, not from chatas behema. Yodei emanis. That's what I'm learning from chatas behema. Midrabba baruchana nafka. Yom rabba baruchana. Am rabshim ben lakish. Kol mokim shenema etzba oy kahuna. Ainly el yamin. And here, since we're talking about that the koyin, molak ha koyin, the Torah refers to the koyin who does the malika, so by definition it has to be yamin. I don't need to come on to a limit from chatzis behema, but since the Torah says the koyin has to be molak, it says etzba oy kahuna, ain el yamin. So, lechoyin, I don't need chatzis behema. And for the one of the idach, kahuna baya etzva, etzva v'loy baya kahuna. We had a machloikis about this earlier on in Tzvachim, and that Gemara tells us that one man the Yomah holds that if it says the word etzva, clearly that's always yamin, because I learned that from the Mitzoyra. Right. Because when Mitzoyra, you have to go and put the boy in Yad HaYamanis, and boy in Ragli Yamanis, and the Oizi Yamanis. Everything has to go and be Yad Yamin, and etzva yamin, al tzazer zeh good. However, if it says koyin alone, there we have a machlokes. According to Reb Shimon Lakish, kol makish nema etzba oy kahuna ein el yamin. Only one of the two. The Educh said, no. If it says kahuna, that's not enough. You still have to put an etzba. But etzba doesn't require kahuna. Ah, so since in our Gemara, by the case of the malikas oy lezoyv, it doesn't say the word etzba. It only says the word kayin. So how would I know it has to be dafka yodoy hayimanis or etzba yamanis? That's what I learned up from.
But it can't be, if it's a malika, it has to be with the finger.
That's etzba, exactly.
Right.
Etzba, of course, etzba sometimes means the second finger, but here we're using etzba generically.
Right.
Here it doesn't say in the Pasuk Malak that you have to go and do with your finger.
Well, you're supposed to use a kli, then it's not malika. I mean, it has to be, the definition of malika is with etzba.
But does it say the word etzba in the Torah by malika?
No.
Okay, so maybe you can use your left hand or your left finger. How do you know you have to use dafka from the right hand? That I have to go and learn from Chatzis Behema.
That's the right way to do it.
Exactly, the right way to do it. Otherwise, you just leave it behind you until it gets left. Yeah.
Right. No, I remember I had a picture book on the Ola, and there was Machlokas. Does the Kohen does the Malika with his right finger?
For sure.
But the question is, does he hold the bird in the same hand, or does he hold
it's a Machlokas?
Right. So,
agreed.
So I mean, it's not Yamin. It's a Machlokas. It's not unanimous.
You also have to be dexterous.
When you're talking about it's in two hands, which hand is holding onto the oif and which hand is performing the malika?
In the one, the malika is always done by the right hand.
Okay, so that's what Agamar is talking about. How do you know that it has to be the right hand? Maybe it could even be the left hand. Okay. Says Igmar, I learned that from Chatzis Behema. And there by the Chatzis Behema, it has to be with the Yamin.
Right.
Say over here, it also has to be Dafka be Yamin. And therefore, says Igmar, but I have to learn it from Chatzis Behema. I could not learn it otherwise, because otherwise I say right or left, or left and right, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Didn't we have Reb Shimon Lakish that says, wherever it says koin, ain't el Yamin? This man Yamah said, no, koin is not enough. It has to go and say the word etzba. It doesn't say etzba. It says koin. Koin is not enough. Got a little from Chatzis Behema. Zok the Gemara, the Tanakam, Rebbelezer, Reb Shimon, Mimul, Ha'oyref, Minolahu. After all, the only one that spoke about the Mul Ha'oyref, that was Rabbi Shmuel. And Rabbi Shmuel said, I learned Kamishba Chatzis Ha'oyf, Ma Chatzis Ha'oyf, Mimul Ha'oyref. There it says in the Pasuk, Mimul Arpoi. Af Oyf is also Mimul Ha'oyref. Don't state in Pasik, right? Molak a koin, mimul orpoi velo yavda. That's by the chatzis oik. Doesn't say the chatzis behema. Now, Freit Gemara, according to the Tanakam and the Blood of Shimon, they didn't speak about that limud. So how do they know that then of mimul arpoi? Efnimar gamri malika mimalika. Here it says umolak a koin, and here it says umolak a koin, and just by the molak a koin, by the chatzis oif, it says mimul arpoi. So this malika also the location is mul arpoi. So I don't learn it from Umalak vehikter. I don't learn it from Kamishbat. I don't learn it from Vehikrivai. I learn it from Malika Malika that all Malikas have to be done. Mimul ha oidev. Have a wonderful day. Avrei lechanyontiv, everybody. Wow.